Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to continue this discussion. I just love how God works things out. And it looks like that in the last five Sundays, yes, we only have five left of the year, that we're going to be able to finish this theme and this thought. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're just going to read the first five verses all together. The first five verses, beginning in verse 1 together, if you would this morning with me. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Well, here we are in chapter 4. And Timothy is continuing to go through and explain to, Paul is continuing to explain to Timothy about his behavior, his demeanor, his person, his being as the pastor. And listen, all of those things are great, but it's not just a pastoral charge. It's not just a pastoral encouragement. It's for all Christians to be a part of this thing of study. To show thyself approved unto God. It's up to all of us to preach the word, to be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I'll remind you that when I was in Bible college, I was taught that preaching is meant to bring people to a point of decision. When we go out and we preach the gospel to every creature, we're giving them the information, not just so they have the information, but so that they decide to do something about it. That they decide to accept Christ as their Savior. We want people to be saved. We want people to know for sure about heaven. And then we want people to develop a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, with the Word, with the Holy Spirit. Folks, we want people to grow, to be discipled, to develop into mature plants or mature trees that bear fruit. More fruit and much fruit. You see, there's a progression there. And we ought to want to become that ourselves. And so now as we go from just plain old knowledge and warnings, we come to this charge. And I want you to look, I'm not going to skip over it, but we've already explained what it means to, in verse 2, reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering and with doctrine. Doctrine is that biblical foundation, the matters of the things of God that we are to impart as a body of truth to mankind. And then he gives a reason. If you look at the reason in verses 3 and 4, he says the reason we need to do this, Timothy, the why behind the what is that they are not going to endure sound doctrine for long. And can I tell you something, folks? We're already in that day. Okay, we're already there. There are people out there, and that number is growing, that don't want to hear it. Or, if you will, they've already decided that it's not relevant. Okay? So I want you to understand that as far as the Word of God and the doctrines of Scripture, people have, if you will, heard enough. And they've already decided, many of them, that it's not for them. It's just not, and they just say, it's not just not for me. Now, can I tell you something? That the times are going to wax worse and worse. It is going to be harder to reach people for Christ. But that does not mean that we don't. That does not mean we stop running buses. That does not mean we stop going soul winning. That does not mean we stop handing out gospel tracts. That doesn't mean, that does not mean we stop getting people into Bible college and getting people into the mission field. We don't stop doing those things. It just means that we're going to have to do more with less. You all know what I'm talking about, right? We're going to have to work a little harder at it to get the same results. That's all it means. It doesn't mean we give up and die. It doesn't mean we quit. It means that we just continue to go forward knowing that it's going to be harder. Can I tell you something? That's okay. Coach, I'm glad we got on the same memo today. Got the green coat going today. Brother Nicholas has coached football. How long did you coach football? 20 plus years?
34.
Okay, 34 years. I could have said 30 plus years. He coached football a long time. And he understands this principle. You know, you plan for something, you develop players, and guess what? In football, players get hurt. And just because your star athlete goes down in the first quarter doesn't mean you're done playing the game. It's next man up. And guess what? Sure, that next guy that comes in at quarterback is probably not the athlete the first guy is, otherwise he'd have been the first guy. You realize that, okay? The tools, what he can do with the offense and those things, it's gonna be less. But all that means is just gonna be harder to score a touchdown. It doesn't mean it's impossible. And the guys know that, don't they, coach? And they go out there and a winning team, a championship quality team, overcomes those difficulties. And folks, we're a championship caliber team. We've got the best coach ever. God the Father, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm just telling you, the analogies are fit so well, but he says you've got to do it with all long suffering and doctrine. He says these things, they're not going to listen as much. They're not going to hear. So, Timothy, you've got to be instant in season, out of season. You've got to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, that word endure means to undergo a hardship. Okay, so you understand that sound doctrine is going to become a hardship to them. And they're not going to endure it. You understand that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? This is an implement of destruction, if you will, but it's meant to cut away sin and the flesh and the devil and the lost qualities of man, to reveal and to provide and to give life everlasting. Okay? So it's an implement. And it cuts, and it's supposed to cut. Folks, doctrine is supposed to divide. It's supposed to separate the sheep from the goats. It's not supposed to, and by the way, that's why I'm sick and tired of all the churches today that are just saying, well, we're going to get away from doctrine because it's so abrasive. It's supposed to be. And they're not going to endure it. By the way, you understand that people are like electrons. They follow the path of least resistance. Okay? They don't want to go through struggles. They don't want to go through hardships. That's hard, so I'm just going to avoid that. I'm going to go around it and find an easier path. So he says they're not going to endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. Can I just tell you something? It's easy to follow the flesh. It's easy. It's what we're good at. Giving in to fleshly desires and youthful lusts and the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is easy. And you know what? We in our human, natural, carnal state like it. It feels good. We are comfortable in it. And it's easy. You know what's hard? It's hard to say no to the sin. It's hard to say no to the flesh. It's hard to do the work of God. It's hard, if you will, to follow the Holy Spirit. It takes effort. It doesn't take any effort to sin, folks. It doesn't take any effort to follow the flesh. It's our default. It takes effort to go after God, to go after the things of God, to be something that we're not in our own self. But we can do it, but we need to do it. But he says, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So they're going to go and they're going to find those false witnesses, the ones that say, yeah, go ahead. By the way, I've heard this from so-called Christians before. Well, brother, you know, it's okay to, you know, take in a little bit of alcohol because, you know, we're in a space of grace. And the Bible says, you know, a little wine for thy stomach's sake. They play it off. They make a joke of it. And shockingly so, I had an individual in the ministry that jokingly said, it's okay to look as long as you don't touch. No, it's not. I'm just saying, you know, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears because they'll say, you know what? God will forgive you. It's okay. Well, you know, that is partially true. It's like a half-truth. God will forgive you, yes, but it's not okay. I told you the illustration I use in children's programs. I'll take a nice, clean piece of wood, and I'll bring out a handful of nails and a hammer, and I'll start going to town on that thing. And I'll just take this nail, and I'll start driving in. This is lying. Lie, 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 lie. And then I'll take another one, and I'll say, this is lust and sin, you know, I'll hammer that in. This one is evil thoughts and wickedness, and this one is rebellion, and this one, and I'll just go on. These are all sins that we're capable of committing, and I'll start hammering those things, and then I'll take the claw into that thing and say, but God forgives. God gives more grace, and I'll pull those nails out and say, look, see, now there are no more nails. God has forgiven these things. But then I flip that board up and I show them all the holes. Well, those scars don't go away. And so we've got to realize that it's easy to sin, if you will. It's easy to follow the flesh. And the people of this time that we're in right now are going to heap to themselves. You know what happens when someone's trying to avoid God and avoid the things of God? They go overboard the other way. So he doesn't say they're just going to pull on the ear of this teacher or pull on the ear of that teacher. No, they're going to jump in and just start covering themselves to try to get away from the calling of God and the leading of God to the right. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to do an excess. And so you understand that they're going to do this, and they're going to turn their ears away. So they're not just going to stop listening to you. They're going to turn their ears away from sound doctrine. And they're going to be turned unto fables. So what that means is they're actually going to take the fable, the falsehood, the lie, and they're going to believe it as truth. You understand that you can tell yourself a lie so much that you eventually believe it as the truth. But you can do that. And how many of you have ever gotten into a situation where you told a story a certain way, and now that's how it happened? And then somebody from that particular story in that particular past comes and says, well, that's not how I remember it. And you're going to be like, well, that's what I remember. Come on, please tell me that I'm not the only one this has happened to. Yeah. And then you're like, then you start to rethink, well, when did I go wrong? And then you realize where it was that you actually changed some of the details of the story. And you're like, man, I, I, I believe that. I was telling that as the truth. You know what I'm saying? Folks, it happens to us. The Bible tells us it happens. They're actually turned so that they actually believe, if you will, an alternate truth. They believe something that's not true, but they believe it to be the truth. I was out soul winning with Aiden, and I used this illustration a couple weeks ago. But you understand, we were talking to a man in the Hindu religion, and he really believed that those things were true because that's what he had grown up with, that's what he had been taught. And it's difficult to stand there and say, well, that, I'm sorry, but what you're believing is not the truth. And that's, by the way, they don't like to hear that. It's difficult. It's not something that that's easy. It's not something that they want to entertain. So that's the why behind the what, why we should preach the word, because they're going to be that way. So he gives that description and he tells him, Timothy, this is what you're going to encounter. They're going to do this to you, but you still must preach the word. So he tells him what to do. He tells him why he should do what he's supposed to do. And then he goes back and he continues to tell him more things of what he's supposed to do in light of the new information of what's going to take place. So because they're not going to endure sound doctrine, because they're going to, after their own lusts, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and because they're going to turn their ears away from the truth, and because they're going to be turned unto fables, he says, Timothy, not only do you need to preach, not only do you need to try to bring them to a point of decision, not only do you need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, but now you have to do some more things to be successful in reaching these people. You see, he's not giving up on these people. He's not saying, okay, they're going to do this, so just quit. Just hang up the towel, throw in the towel, rather, or hang it up, and just go on about your daily life. No, he says, you now need to add some more things to your arsenal, to your repertoire, to be able to be what you need to be as a child of God. So now, I have a wonderful little outline here, but I knew this introduction was going to take most of my time. So I'm going to try to get through two of them. I'm probably not going to, but I was able to alternatively alliterate this. So we have W-E-W-E. And guess what is that? Oui, oui. Right? It's French. This is a French message. Okay? So I know it's not spelled that way. It's O-U-I, right? Isn't it we? Yeah, okay. Yeah. But we think it's W-E-W-E, you know. But anyways, no, but, and by the way, just out of fun, what does it take for this to be accomplished? It takes we. It takes all of us. So the first W is there in verse 5. He says this, but watch thou in all things. Okay, watch. So he says, Timothy, you've got to be sober about this. You've got to be serious about this. You've got, and by the way, soberness and watchfulness, sober doesn't mean to not be drunk, but sober means to be mindful, to be serious, to be focused on a subject. So back in the beginning, study, right? To set your mind on a thing. So he says, now, Timothy, watch. Watch in all things, he says. Look what he says. He says, but watch thou in all things. Folks, we have got to watch. This particular Greek word that's translated watch here in this particular passage of scripture is used 6 times in the New Testament. One of them is here, and it is correctly translated watch, but watch thou in all things. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So he says, Timothy, because these people are going to respond this way, you must not only preach, not only study, not only be the man that you need to be, But now you're going to have to be sober about it. Now you're going to have to be mindful about it. Now you're going to have to actually be focused on this, because the time is at hand, because it's so difficult, because it is so imperative that you succeed, you're going to have to give your attention to it. That's what he's saying. So Christian, can I tell you something? We are in the last days. We are in perilous times. These people are doing the things that these people are prophesied to do. They are turning away from their natural affections. They are doing these things. They are heaping to themselves teachers. They are turning their ears away from. They are believing other things to be truth when they're fables. They are doing that. It's already here. Wake up. Watch. Be sober. Get your head in the game. I mean, how many times have you grabbed the kid's face mask and said, "Wake up, son, get your head in the game"? I'm glad you're sitting right here, because, and I'm glad it's football season and all that. Because it's so appropriate, isn't it? I mean, you grab him and you say, "Hey, I need you here right now. Get your mind on this." And so he's saying, Timothy, and if Timothy had a proverbial spiritual helmet, right, he'd grab him by the face mask and say, "Hey, wake up. I need your attention right now." And that's what it means to watch in all things. Are you there in 1 Thessalonians? Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 1. "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren," I love this. Paul says this to the Thessalonians. By the way, he loved the Thessalonians. Even though those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, he still loved them. And he still thought highly of them. He said, "I have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly." He says, "Christian, you already know. I don't really need to write this to you. You already know this is coming." And can I tell us today in 2025, and the last Sunday of November, that folks, I don't really need to preach this message. You already know it. It's something you already understand and you already know. He says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety." By the way, is there peace? No, it's not. That's a fable. But they're believing it. "Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the light nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Okay, so here this word is used in, they use the two English words to describe the word. So you understand, he says we need to watch, we need to be aware, we need to be alert, and we need to be sober. We need to have the right mindset about this. We need to have our attention focused on these things. He says, "Folks, I don't need to write this unto you. I don't need to tell you. You already know. I'm just trying to, not to teach you. I'm trying to get you to focus. I'm trying to make you aware so that you're aware and have the awareness." So basically, he's telling Timothy, "But watch thou in all things." He's saying, "Timothy, be aware. Wake up. The time is now. It's here. We're in the moment. I need your full attention." That's what it means. Christians, God needs our full attention. I, as your pastor, need your full attention. We are in the thick of it. We don't know how much time we have left. We don't know how long they're going to endure sound doctrine. I don't know how much more opportunities. That's a bad use of English. I don't know how many more opportunities we're going to have to give out the gospel. Listen, I know we're in the United States of America, but let me ask you this question. Is it guaranteed that we're going to be able to go door to door, knock on doors, tell people about Christ next year? I sure hope so, but there's no guarantee of it. Folks, this thing could all fall apart all of a sudden. Can I tell you, COVID kind of proved that. We don't know. Today may be the last time you get a chance to hand out a gospel tract. I don't know that. Today may be the last moment that you have to talk to a neighbor, and then tomorrow they're not going to listen to you anymore. I don't know those things. So be sober about it. Think. Get your head in the game. That's what he's saying. Over to 1 Peter. Of course, this word is used here in 2 Timothy. It's used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but it's also used in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I know we've already gone through 1 and 2 Peter, but that's where these words are in the scripture. So we're going to go through them again a little bit. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 13. I love what Peter says here. And by the way, Peter was a very strong supporter of the Apostle Paul. Peter says this in verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Now, can I tell you, and we'll get to the next word here in just a minute, but can I tell you something? To gird up the loins of your mind. Folks, we've got to do that because our minds are susceptible to attack. The devil doesn't want you to have the mind of Christ. The devil doesn't want you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He wants you to be carnal. And so, folks, you've got to gird up the loins of your mind. You've got to make your mind ready to work. That's what it means to gird up. Okay? They used to go into a working activity, the clothing that they would gather up their clothing about their loins so that they could do the work. They girded up the loins of their loins so that they could do the work, accomplish the work. Folks, we've got to gird up our minds. We've got to become sober, to become aware, to become active in our thinking toward this particular subject. You see, it's easy for us just to let it pass on and pass by. But he says, no, Timothy, but watch thou in all things. Back to Peter. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, make yourself ready, not only in your ability, but the ability of your mind. So that's what this means. To watch thou in all things, to be sober, to be, make yourselves ready to work. Make yourselves ready to function. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So you understand that he's saying, look, you need to not only prepare yourself physically for the physical work, but you need to gird up the loins of your mind and be sober to do the mental work. Hey, you know, you've been told probably all your lives that you can accomplish something if you'll put your mind to it. Preach the word. Study to show thyself approved. Why? Because they're not going to listen very much longer. There's not much daylight left to work. So we got to gird up the loins of our mind and be sober. We're ready to accomplish the task. That's what he's saying. Watch thou in all things. Go over to 2 Peter. Nope. Sorry. Not 2 Peter. 1 Peter 4. Just a few more chapters. Look at verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same what? Oh. Huh. Well, you know, I'm going to arm myself with my pocket knife. I'm going to arm myself with a sword. No. I'm going to arm myself with my mind. You know, as a kid, we used to, you know, tease people, you know, what is this? Yeah, it's a brain sucker. What's it doing? Starving. Never. Nobody else did that? Was that the only one that did that joke? Okay, I don't know. We arm ourselves with our mind. Folks, listen to me. We've got to watch. It's easy to go through life thoughtless. Careless, right? That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be armed with our mind. So he says this, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men. But does that sound like someone who's watching in all things? Who's prepared? Who's sober? Sober-minded? We are ready to act. We are in the moment. We are thinking about the task at hand. We are focused. We're watching in all things. I want you to know your pastor's delusional. There's no way I'm getting to point number two. You think I'd learn after repeating the same thing? You know, repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, is the definition of insanity. Okay, so I guess I'm insane. All right. That he should no longer live in the rest of his time. Okay, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So folks, listen. Peter is telling them this. Paul is telling them this. Folks, God is telling us to watch thou in all things. Go one more chapter to chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now I told you these are the six times in Scripture that this word watch is used. We need to focus and think about what God is trying to tell us. Look at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. That's that ready mind. That's watch. That's sober. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and give you the outline just to prove to you that I have one. I think some of you think, you know what, he just says that to make us think that he's studied this out. So, the first one, watch. Watch means be sober. Go back to the text and we'll finish today. Then he says, endure afflictions. Guess what the E is? Endure. To undergo a hardship. And then he says, do the work. The work, the toil, the labor of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now, this one I had to manufacture. The word full proof there, make full proof thy ministry, literally means to entirely accomplish. That's our last E. Entirely accomplish. But let's focus back on this as we close. Watch. But watch thou in all things. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say today, the devil has stolen our focus. We're drunk. We are drunk with the things of this world. Entertainment, the excitement of things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We as Christians today, we as the believers of God are, if you will, drunk with the world. And in a sense, he's saying, get sober. Come to your senses. Come to the right mind. And watch unto all things. Folks, we've got to get away. We've got to cast aside the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We've got to hate the things of this world. And in our reference to the love that we have for God, we've got to come into attention. We've got to put those spiritual blinders on and ignore the things that are out there and focus on the prize. We've got to become sober. Watch thou in all things, because the time will come when they will not endure. The time will come when they'll heap to themselves teachers. The time will come when they'll turn away their ears from the truth. The time will come when they'll be turned unto fables. So we've got to get our head in the game. We've got to have the mind of Christ. We've got to be sober in our mind. We've got to be renewed in our mind. We've got to watch in all things. Christian, decide to watch.